Welcome to the Raising Confident Girls podcast, your guide to raising strong, confident daughters. I'm Melissa Jones, the founder of Girls Positivity Club and a teacher for over 20 years. In a world where girls often feel overwhelmed, anxious, and confused, this podcast is your go-to space. As caregivers, we navigate challenges together. I founded Girls Positivity Club to provide a place where you belong and get the tools to face today's hurdles. Consider this your regular check-in with a trusted friend, offering insights and practical tips for meaningful conversations. I'm here to help you feel confident on this journey of raising a generation of empowered girls. Let's dive in and raise those confident girls together. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Thank you for being here. Today is a very important day because it's a topic that I think we tend to think of in one way, and I hope to shift your perspective about that and your daughter's too. So if this is your first time, welcome. If you've been here before, welcome back. I'm so grateful that you're taking this time with me, and my intention is always to add value to your life and to the girls in your life's life. So however that came out. So one thing that I do all the time is I'm just always looking for ways to grow because I'm not a perfect person. I don't do everything perfectly. And I just have this like internal drive to grow in new ways and to, because I know that in doing that myself, I am going to have positive impact on the girls in my life, to, you know, my club leaders, all the people in the community, the parents of girls, and that's really important to me. It's what gets me up every day. It's my favorite thing. And I'm just always looking for new perspectives and new ways to think about things because I think we can get stuck in our everyday lives of me included. It's like you can think in one way and then you hear someone else's perspective and you're like, oh my gosh, I never thought of it that way. And it shifts everything. So I have lots of mentors in my life because I believe in mentorship. And, you know, obviously I think that would be strange if I didn't, because I am a mentor to girls, to parents, to my leaders, and they are as well. So I think mentoring is super powerful. And some of my mentors don't even know I exist. And I think that's important to teach our daughters too, is like, you can look up to people and learn from people that may never know you, and they can be authors, they can be podcast hosts, they can be, you know, people's story that you hear, whoever it is. And this person's name is Trent Shelton. So if you don't know Trent Shelton, he's actually an ex-pro NFL player. And what I love about his story is that he decided that that actually wasn't his calling in life. He got cut from several NFL teams and he thought it was his big dream. And he had something happen in his life with one of his friends that was very tragic that shifted his perspective. And, you know, and that's so, it's so telling of sometimes when you're meant to do something, it takes something to shake you up. And so I love learning from him. He's a motivational speaker. He's an author. He has a podcast called Straight Up, which is really good. And he really uses now his platform to help others. And those are the people that I follow, is people who have good hearts, that are good humans, who want to help make the world a better place, as cheesy as that sounds. And I love cheesy things. And I love believing in hope and believing that things are possible and that we can change the world. So those are the people that I listen to. And it's not that I'm not open to other perspectives, but I look for the good and I look for how I can help others, and especially girls and families of girls. So one thing that I heard from him in an interview recently was this quote that I thought was very powerful, which is what this podcast is all about today, which is, boundaries aren't walls, they're bridges. And that really just made me sit up and notice. And I was like, oh my gosh, you know, we're talking about boundaries, like boundaries is like a buzzword right now in a good way. And, you know, we hear experts talk about boundaries and I think we can have this connotation with the word as being negative or being like, I can't let anyone in, or I have to do this thing that's really hard. And I love the idea of thinking about it and presenting this to your daughter as, or the girl in her life, as a bridge. Because really, if you're thinking about boundaries, you want them to be a place where you can set a boundary and it leads you to where you want to go. So like a bridge, I never think of a bridge as like, oh, there's a bridge. I'm never going to get to the other side. I think of it as, oh, this is a way I can get over this thing. So when there are challenges and we need to set boundaries and we need to have hard conversations, it's important to know that it's a positive thing. So a few things that he said that really struck me in the interview was that teaching your daughter boundaries protects her peace. And if you think about that, that's such an important thing. It's like we're planting the seeds or we're building the bridge, so to speak, at a young age. And that's really the purpose of this mission that I have is I want to teach girls this when they're young so that they have the tools while they're growing up and they don't have to backtrack like I did, not knowing how to do these things until I was well into my 30s and even in my 40s. And that's really a powerful thing is to learn these things along the way so that they can handle challenges in healthy ways. And one of those ways is to know how to set boundaries and feel empowered by them. So he said these three things that I thought would be a really cool way to frame the conversation today. And that is asking your daughter, like thinking about protecting her peace, asking her, what do you need in your life right now? So I'll give examples of different things, but I'll go through these three questions and I'll keep coming back to them so that it really connects to the examples. Because I always love to give real life examples with real girls that I know that I've worked with and common scenarios that you may come across with the girls in your life. So what in your life do you need right now? What do you need? Number two, what boundary do you need to set that will lead you to what you need? So what boundary would lead you to what you need? And then the third question is, why do I need to stick to this boundary? And then the second part to that is, what will it cost me if I don't? So this part really, I love that last part. What will it cost me if I don't? I think that's a great way to think about it. Not that we're going to the negative, but I also believe you do have to think about, okay, if I don't do this, what could be the outcome? So I think about all the times that we all have to speak up for what we need. And as girls, I know just in society, oftentimes girls are raised to go along with things, to be agreeable. And I believe that we're breaking that barrier now and teaching girls that they use their voice, they can be assertive, they can still be kind and assertive. Doesn't mean that they're any certain type of way if they speak their mind or they, you know, just tell what they need in friendships, relationships, all those things, and even within the family dynamic. So I thought those were really cool ways to frame it. And so in thinking about when your daughter or the girl in her life doesn't have a boundary set, it costs her peace. It causes anxiety. It causes worry. It causes stress. And that's what we want to avoid. It's not that we're never going to experience stress or worry or anxiety in our lives and that we can put our daughters in a bubble and, you know, protect her from every single thing. I think that's where we can make some mistakes in that when you try to protect them from everything, it doesn't let them have that resilience and grit to go through something hard. So it may be not as big of a hard thing, but if they're experiencing those little moments of discomfort or challenges in friendships by speaking up, by doing these different things, then it really makes it easier in the long run because she'll build that skill of really setting boundaries when she needs to do that and knowing that that's a superpower and that's a bridge. So these are really common examples of when girls need to set boundaries. One of them is with siblings. So these are like categories of people, and this is what I've heard from girls and my own experience. Siblings, classmates, boys, when they get into that, you know, relationship time, or even just interacting with boys. I hear from a lot of girls, especially in middle school, that boys are super annoying in middle school, and they're really just trying to figure out how to exist with them in school without it ruining their life. I mean, that sounds dramatic, but coming from them. When people say mean or unkind comments, those are common times when they might want to, well, not might want to, but they need to set boundaries and really be assertive and really take that initiative to think, okay, what do I need right now? What would protect my peace right now? So there's one example of siblings, and there's a couple examples I'm going to say, but one is borrowing clothes. So I had these girls that were sisters. They still are sisters, but they were in Girls Positivity Club, and they were telling me about this problem, this common problem that they have with boundaries, with clothes. And as silly as that sounds, sisters tend to borrow each other's clothes. And there is disagreement about that. And it's all about the boundary of feeling like that your space is invaded. So this one girl in particular was older. She was like late middle school, early high school age. And then the other one was about fifth, sixth grade age. And she really wanted to borrow her older sister's clothes. And so her older sister was really annoyed by this because her sister would just come in and take something without asking, without permission, after she had already left from school. And it was causing a big thing, a big argument, a big just strain in their relationship. And so this was an ongoing thing. And the older sister would try and set a boundary with the younger one. She would break it, vice versa. So then, well, vice versa is the older sibling then would go in and take something of hers. So they didn't wear the same, they were close to the same size, but she might take something else of hers, like an art supply. They both love to be creative. And then it was causing this huge conflict. So the parents tried to intervene and set like, okay, there's no more borrowing. Well, then what they found was they were complaining because they actually liked borrowing each other's things. They just weren't doing it in the correct way. And the parents had tried several things, but nothing really worked. They just kept breaking their boundary. And so they said, you know what, girls, you are going to figure out what your boundary is, what your rules are, and you're going to come up with an agreement together. I want you two to go off and figure this out. So they had gotten to a breaking point where they're like, okay, what we're doing is not working. We're going to put it back on them, which I thought was really brilliant because sometimes it's like we think we have to solve everything for our kids or we have to come up with the plan. And a lot of times they know what they need and they know what they would like to do. And they have to know how to work through that as siblings without the parent making all the decisions. And I think obviously this is developmental with age because you model things along the way, but they have to get through this and go through this conflict with their siblings to figure out what is acceptable and what isn't. And it doesn't mean they're never going to break it again, but it puts that power on them. It gives them the bridge. It lets them build their own bridge in their boundaries. So, and what they did try was the wall, you know, building a wall. No, you're not allowed to borrow anymore. And then what they found was it didn't really work. It was like, okay, that is a boundary. We are putting up a wall, but it's not really helping. We're still kind of arguing. There's tension between us. This is the perspective of the girls. And they were able to articulate this to me, which is so amazing. And I'm always so impressed by girls' insight when you ask them a question, an open-ended question. It's like, wow, that's amazing that you're thinking that way. I don't think I thought that way when I was younger, but it's having these conversations that builds that skill. And so, and helping them navigate like, okay, what do I need to do in this situation and empower them in that way as well. So they came up with a system that worked for them. So maybe she was allowed to borrow something on these certain days. Then the older sibling, same thing, like they had an agreement. They also came up with what happens if it's broken. So if one of us breaks the agreement, what are the consequences that we're going to, you know, hold each other to? And it wasn't like punishment types of things, but it was like, well, then you're not allowed to borrow something for 2 weeks. And so then they would try again. And they came up with this whole kind of contract idea all on their own. And then they were to report back to their parents because their parents were like, okay, we want to support you in this. We need to know what you decide. So from what the girls had said the last time I talked to them, it was actually working. And again, it's not about it being perfect and them never breaking a boundary again, because that's part of having siblings, having friends, is people make mistakes and working through it is just what you do. And really, they had to think about what will protect our peace in this way. So going back to those three questions, what did they need? They needed to have some kind of a set schedule or boundary in some way that's going to help them borrow each other's things, but do it in a respectful way. And they figured out their system for how they were going to do that. And sticking to that, coming back to the third question, sticking to it is how they're going to continue to protect their peace. What it will cost them if they don't is to never be able to borrow each other's things, or it will cause conflict and argument between the siblings, which can cause stress in families too. So that's an example of clothing, which seems very simple and like trivial to think about, but not to kids. You know, those girls, that was important to them. I think sometimes they're like, big deal, it's a sweatshirt. But to them, it's a very big deal, because a lot of times clothing, it represents like their image and who they want to be. For some girls, that's very important to them. And it doesn't mean that they have the fanciest clothes, but it just is their own identity. And especially when they get to pick out their own outfits and their own style, it's a way to express themselves. So it is actually deeper than what it seems on the surface. And then another example with siblings is the room, like protecting your time to yourself, your time to do what you want to do without feeling invaded. So it's like that personal space. So I hear this a lot, especially from an older sibling who has a younger sibling who's always barging in. So this particular example is an older sister with a younger brother who always would barge into her room, go in, and they're like 3 or 4 years age difference, and go in, like do something silly or take something from her room and run away or do something like this. And this girl that I was working with, it was a one-to-one situation where I was coaching her and we were talking about this because this was causing her a lot of stress and it was costing her her peace and her relationship with her brother. And she was like, I don't know why he keeps doing this. He comes in, he's annoying, or he comes in and hits me, or he does this certain thing. And it wasn't always hitting, but it was mainly just invading her space. She was trying to draw or listen to music, relax, do what she wanted to do. Maybe she was FaceTiming with a friend and he would just barge in, make noises or faces or run around or do something random. And she was like, why is he doing this? So we started thinking about it and I said, do you spend quality time with your brother? Like, do you spend time with him? She's like, not really, because he's just always annoys me. There's nothing that we do that's peaceful, really. Because I said, what do you need? And she's like, I need to have time to myself and I need him to leave me alone. Like, that was what she wanted. And I said, do you think that as a sibling, you never want to interact with him? She's like, no, that's not what I mean. I just don't want it to be stressful when we do, or this big ordeal. Like, it was turning into this big scene every time he would try and interact with her. And she had told her parents and they told him to stop, and he would stop for a little while and then he would keep doing it. And then she's like, he's just broken my trust. And so I said, well, what could you do to spend time with him that you enjoy? And she was like, well, what I do enjoy doing with him is playing Roblox. So she's like not a huge video game person, but she did like to play Roblox. She's like, I actually enjoy it. He's more calm. He's more quote unquote normal, whatever that means. And like it's just easier to talk to him when we're doing that, or we're enjoying it and we're laughing and we're planning out what we're going to do or whatever it is. And I said, do you think that he wants your attention? And she's like, yeah, I think he does. And I said, well, what boundaries can we set that would help you have your own time and give your brother time too? Because let's think of it from his perspective. You're his cool older sister. He, at some point in your life, I'm sure you did enjoy spending time together and you did do things together. And she's like, yeah, that's true. We would go outside and we would do this and that. And she gave examples. And she's like, I'm just not really into the same things that he is. And I was like, well, what are some things that are common ground for you? So we brainstormed those ideas. And then she said, okay, but I don't want to do things with him all the time. I'm older. I want my own space. I need time to myself too. And I was like, that's fair. And so does he. That's a need that you have. And that will protect your peace. If I'm coming back to this idea. So the bridge that she was building, so to speak, was deciding, okay, I still have to come on the bridge, you know, build the bridge with my brother, not make it like a wall where you're never allowed to come in and we're never interacting, all that, because that's not really a healthy way to have a sibling relationship. So they decided on, she was like, I could give him 30 minutes this many times a week. And I was like, okay, start with that. Start with a couple times a week, talk to him about it and say to him, I like spending time with you when we do these things. When you come in my room and you do this and that, and she gave examples, it really stresses me out. And I know that you're trying to spend time with me, but that doesn't feel good. And surprisingly, he took it a lot better than what she thought he would. And she said, I am going to hang out with you and I want to start with 30 minutes. And she did set a timer, and if she wanted to extend it, she could, but it just gave like a very clear boundary to her brother. Like, I will hang out with you for 30 minutes. And I know that may sound harsh, but it's what she felt like she could handle given that he was interrupting her peace so many times. Like, it was really a difficult situation for her because they really hadn't enjoyed time together in some time, like months and months of time. And so she tried that and it really worked. She found that when she gave him time, it helped him see that she cared about him and she wanted to do that, but she didn't like the way that he was coming into her space. And it's not like he never did anything goofy ever again or never annoyed her ever again, but the point is she was able to communicate that with him. And then he was able to tell her in his own way as a younger sibling that he really did like spending time with her and he just didn't know how to get her attention. And then she was able to say, well, you can just tell me if you want to hang out or if you want to do something and then we can decide something to do together. So maybe he liked building Legos and she's like, I'll build Legos with you. I just don't want to do it every single day for hours on end. I also need my own time. So I thought that was a really healthy thing to do. And it's something that she's going to have to keep revisiting as their relationship changes and everything. But I thought it was a very good example of setting boundaries with siblings. And siblings really aren't the only people that our girls need to set boundaries with. It's friends when they're continuing to break a boundary or they're continuing to do a behavior that your daughter doesn't like. And it's not like she's keeping track of things that they're doing, but things do come up. So sometimes it's that something, maybe your daughter had a hard day at school and the friend never checks on her or never asks, just like ignored. And it's like, you need your friends to check on you. And it's okay to say that. It's okay to say, I had a rough day today and I kind of want to talk about it with you. And maybe it didn't even involve her. And some girls just aren't aware that the friends need that. And so voicing what you need to your friends, I think, is super powerful. And it can feel very uncomfortable for them to bring up. But if we don't teach them to do it and to push through the discomfort, the consequences or the what it will cost them is they won't get their needs met in their friendships, which then can lead to patterns that can lead to relationships with partners as they get older. And what we don't want is for them just to stuff their feelings and never feel anything or feel like they can't say what they're really feeling to someone that they're in a friendship with, to a family member, or to potentially a partner as they get older. Thanks for joining another empowering episode of the Raising Confident Girls podcast. Share today's insights with caregivers and friends, building beautiful relationships with strong girls. Hit subscribe so you never miss an episode. We're not just a podcast, we're a community. Follow Girls Positivity Club on social media for more empowering content on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and YouTube. This podcast empowers you, supporting incredible girls. Let's create strong, beautiful relationships with the girls in our lives. I appreciate you listening today. Stay confident, stay connected. Until next time, keep raising those confident girls. You've got this.